Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's good for us on to be reminded of what is really asked of us as believers to. It's in the scripture says the just shall live by faith, and Hebrews chapter 11 is a great faith chapter of the Bible. And today I want to look and I have in the past done this as well, where I've taken the life of Moses because it gives a number of different instances in Moses' life of a life of faith. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. What really is faith? And do we really understand what we're to do when we're told to live by faith? How is it exercised? There's a definition that's given to us in that first verse of Hebrews 11, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That word substance means the foundation. It's the foundation or the confidence. Faith is there's something that's got to be underneath our faith. It's the substance. There is and as a believer, there's a substance that we have to our faith. It is that confidence that we have in God's word. But it says, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. Of things hoped for, that's those things that we look ahead to with assurance. It says it's the evidence, it's the proof of things not seen, of things that aren't visible. So when we have faith in something, we have faith in something that there's a foundation for it, there's a basis for it, but we can't see it. We all live by a certain amount of faith in something. I was thinking of using an illustration of that this morning of the GPS. The ladies that came from Utica today, they were following the GPS. They had never been here before. They didn't know for sure where they were going, but they were following by faith that thing was going to get them here. Now, sometimes the GPS will fail you. Mine has failed me on occasion, but there was a foundation for what they were following by faith. There was a foundation of that GPS. Well, we have in the scripture. We in the Word of God, we have a foundation for our faith. But faith is the substance of things hoped for as we look ahead with a confidence, and it's the evidence of things which are not seen. And then in verse 2, it tells us there that for by that the elders obtained a good report. Those in the past obtained a good report from God because they had they followed that foundation that they had in believing God. And this passage of Scripture, in fact, the book on Hebrews 11 gives us many examples of those who obtained a good report. Verse 3 gives us an example. It gives us an example from creation when it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We understand that because of the foundation of God's Word. And then it says, so that the things which are seen, they weren't made by the things which do appear. So, you know, when our scientists try to, through telescopes and all kinds of things, try to figure out our origins, they're looking at something they can see, to try to figure out where we come from. they're not going to find it. Because it says the things which are seen, they weren't made by the things which do appear. These things come into being by the word of God. So that's interesting. If you have your if you were studying through our devotionals, I don't know how many of you use the little devotionals we have out there, but they're a special blessing, as they have each day they have a different scripture and then really some good solid teaching in that. But on the 20th here this last week, they were speaking of faith, and let me read to you what was there. And those of you who used it would remind you of that. It says, faith is essential in order to understand and please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We read that in the sixth verse here this morning. The believer who says he wants to understand the will of God for his life must be willing to walk by faith. For unless he is convinced that God's way is best, he will not naturally nor willingly walk in the way of the Lord. Boy, isn't that true? Isn't that what happens to us? When we don't think that God's way is best, then we find we're doing something else besides following God and following his word. So as we look here at and we're going to go on here to the 23rd verse, And from there on, we're going to look at the genuine faith as shown in the life of Moses. And the first thing we see in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This is not Moses' faith. This is the heritage of faith that Moses had. In fact, when we read in the book of Exodus, we find that heritage of faith went back to the midwives when the king was having all of the male babies slain. It says in Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men children alive. There at the time of Moses' birth and before he was there born, there was a commandment that the male children would be slain because of the king was just afraid of the Israelites becoming powerful, and so he decides that we'll just get rid of all the little male babies. But the midwives, they feared God, and they went against what the king said, because they recognized this is not right. So Moses had a heritage of faith even with the midwives. The passage before us lets us know that his parents believed God. It says by faith, and it says they hid Moses by faith. And you remember the story of Moses being put there in the bulrushes there in the river, but it was by faith that they did that. Faith what? They acted upon their trust in God. It says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There was a very repressive government. But they realized that that government was not ultimately in control. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. They recognized that God was in control. So by faith, Moses was hid. What kind of faith is that? You know, as I look at that faith, I see that as a faith that where the parents lived in a general faith in God. There's no indication that they had a specific command from God. You need to go hide Moses. But they just knew, they knew that this wasn't right for their son to be slain. They knew that this could very well be the loss of their lives of going against the king. They didn't know it was the will of God for Moses to be spared. There's no indication that God said, well, I'm going to use Moses greatly someday, so you got to do this. There's no indication that this is just a general faith to do what was right and trust God. You know, sometimes that's the kind of faith we just need to exercise. A faith that just, I got to do what's right, and I'm just going to have to trust God for the results. There's many times we don't know what the end result is. We don't know that what God is going to do. We just know that I've got to trust God and do what is right. And this seems to be that general faith that was there with Moses. So Moses, we see that heritage of faith that he had. When we come to the next verse, in verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is a personal faith of Moses. You know, first of all, we saw his heritage of faith. And, you know, some of you have had a godly heritage. Some of you haven't. But to have that godly heritage, you can thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for those that in your past feared God. Thank the Lord for if you've had parents that trusted God and maybe seen answers to prayer in your own life. And certainly there was Moses' life was spared, and he could look back and say, well, God did this for me. He saw that my life was spared. But that's the exercise of his parents' faith. And young people, you recognize that the heritage of faith is not good enough for you. You need your own personal faith. You need your own personal faith, and we recognize that as adults. I run across people when many times in going door to door, talking to people, they say, oh, well, my grandmother was a godly woman. Well, good. Praise the Lord for that. But what about you? I say, well, my daddy was a preacher. Well, good. I'm glad your daddy was a preacher. But what about you? You see, Moses had to have that personal faith. And this verse, we see that when he was come to years, there comes a time when we really have to examine ourselves. Yeah, I know what my parents' faith was, but where am I? I remember, and I had made a decision, I had really trusted Christ as a child, but you know, I remember when I was in college and I was 1,000 miles from home, and back in those days you didn't have cell phones, and we had to use a payphone if we wanted to call home, and I didn't have the quarters to put in a payphone even to call home. But you know, I'm out there by myself, and I started to evaluate what is saving faith, you know, and to study the scriptures and say, I've done the things that I'm supposed to do, but have I really put my faith and trust in Christ? and had to evaluate that. Here Moses, when he comes to years, there's a time here now when Moses has to make a choice for himself. Moses has been raised in the court of Pharaoh. Yes, he was raised in those very early years by God's grace, by his mother who taught him obviously the things of God and of the true and the living God. But Moses here, it says when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yes, personal choice is required. Parental faith is not sufficient. And here I think we see that repentance is involved. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He turned from the world's heritage. He turned from the rich Egyptian heritage that he had. He turned from the prestige of that Egyptian leadership. He was raised as the son of Pharaoh. He was raised as one that all of the riches of Egypt were his. But he also turned from the idol worship of Egypt. He turned from the sinful debauchery of Egypt. You know, choice to follow the Lord, choice of our personal faith, it may involve, as it says here in the next in verse, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Choice may involve affliction, to be identified with a despised people, to be treated ill along with the Israelites. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to be identified with the Israelites. You know, the Israelites were not loved in Egypt. They were disdained. Moses' choice was to leave all of that comfort, to leave all of that he had, to be identified with the Israelites, to be identified with the people of God. He recognized there was a true and a living God, and there were the false gods. There were the false gods of Egypt. You know, his choice also involved his perspective on sin. You know, it says rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, sin is often characterized as awful and terrible and not good, which those things are true, but isn't it interesting that the world advertises to allure people? Sin City, you know, they advertise things like, because why? Because sin can be pleasurable. And you know, it's Moses recognized here, evidently, he had seen the pleasures of sin in the court of Egypt. He saw that, hey, they're good times, but he recognized it was short-lived. He recognized it was short-lived. I think of the song I learned as a child. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan, too, was standing there, and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. Satan has a lot of pleasures. He's got a lot to give to us, pleasures. that song goes on, but I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. You know, this verse goes on, and it says, verse 26, that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses saw the treasures that were in Christ, in the reproach of Christ. He recognized that as he was identified with the people of God, that there was treasure. Yes, there was reproach. They were just a despised people, and he could be ill-treated because of that. But he saw in Christ there were riches. He saw that was far beyond what Egypt had to offer. He saw that by faith there was a reward in eternity. It says he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He compared the treasures of Egypt with the treasures of Christ's reproach, and he chose the reproach of Christ. Didn't we see that happen in the New Testament? Remember with Peter and the apostles, when didn't they have that same motivation when they were beaten and then sent out? It says they departed, Acts 5:41, it says they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. You see, Moses looked ahead to the reward. Faith looks ahead. Faith looks ahead, seeing what God has promised. It is the evidence of things hoped for. Do you live by faith? Do you live by faith, trusting in God? Recognizing that what he has is the very best for you, that the things that this world has to offer can all be cast aside, because what is ahead, there is no comparison. Moses had respect. He had an understanding of and accepted that what God had promised was true. He had respect unto the reward that was ahead. So Moses had a personal faith that is expressed very clearly in those verses. Do you have that personal faith? Do you have that personal faith? Not the faith from your heritage, not because you can't trust in that. You've got to trust in your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Moses did that. He had a personal faith when he turned from the gods of Egypt and the pleasures of Egypt and the sin of Egypt. He turned from that to the people of God that were before him, that were being enslaved. Is that the kind of a choice you'd make? You'd have to have faith based on the Word of God and looking ahead to what is in Christ. That's the kind of faith that we're to have. A personal faith. A personal abiding faith. A personal faith that drives us. And as we go on here with Moses, we see how he was driven in that faith. And that is I'm missing a part of my note here, 3-4. he had a life of faith. he had a life of faith. And that is, he, verse 27 says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See what he did? He forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, but he endured what he went to as seeing him who is invisible. You know, you can't see God. You cannot see God. But God has revealed himself. God has revealed himself. We have that foundation of the Word of God where God has very meticulously revealed his character, revealed his person, given his promises. And Moses endured as seeing him who's invisible. You see, Moses knew, he knew the king's power and wrath, but he knew God. He knew God. And that was part of that choice. What the next thing I think we see in verse 28 is Moses' worship. He worshiped in faith. Look at verse 28. It says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Do you remember when the Passover was instituted? You know, this wasn't just, okay, I went to church. This wasn't just a choice, I think I'll go worship the Lord today at church. This was an instruction. This was, if the context of the Passover was the Israelites were enslaved. And remember, if we were to go back there in Exodus chapter 5 and you see how when Moses came before Pharaoh and asked that they would be released, and Pharaoh would say no, and God would bring one of these plagues upon Egypt, and instead of it making Pharaoh let the Israelites go, remember what Pharaoh did? He made it harder and harder on them. And it was to the place where the Israelites were saying to Moses, "What are you doing to us?" He said, "You're just making it worse and worse. We thought we were in a bad shape before, but now we're in terrible shape. And when you come through those 10 plagues, things just got worse and worse for Israel." And what was the Passover? The Lord had said to Moses, "Okay, Moses, I want you to have a celebration for your deliverance. We're going to have the Passover celebration." And when you read what they were to do, when they kept the Passover, you know, the people are here in bondage. And Moses' intercession increases the bondage. The plagues are of no help. But the Lord tells Moses in Exodus 12:2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. And then it shall come to pass that when you eat it with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, and the staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste." It's the Lord's Passover. And then he talks about the sprinkling of blood. He said, you're going to, in this Passover, you're going to slay an innocent, perfect lamb. And you're going to take that blood and you're going to put that blood on the doorposts. Because in the last plague, in this plague I'm going to do, the death angel is going to come by, and anybody, if that blood is not on the doorposts, then the firstborn is going to die. He said, when you keep that, the Passover, when you prepare this meal, it says you prepare it with your shoes on. You have your loins girt because you'd be ready to run. You'd be ready to go because you are going to be delivered on this day. The Israelites were saying to Moses, as I said, they were saying to Moses, what are you doing to us? You're making it worse for us. And God is saying to Moses, yeah, I know I've made it worse. I've hardened Pharaoh's heart. But I want you to keep the Passover because you're going to be delivered. This is going to be the beginning for you. Moses believed in God's judgment. He had him put the blood on the doorposts. He had faith in God's deliverance from death. And they had a celebration of God's deliverance before it happened. Now that's faith, right? We have a celebration after it happens, right? You know, we were at a graduation thing here for Courtney after she graduated. They were having a celebration before it took place. When it didn't look like, by the eye, what they could see, it didn't look like it would ever happen. But by faith, because of what God had said, they celebrated the Passover. So that's why when it says by faith, Moses kept the Passover, and Moses kept the sprinkling of blood by faith, and God performed what he said he would do. You know, that day they were delivered out of Egypt. That day the death angel passed over, and the firstborn throughout the kingdom died where there was not blood on the doorposts. You see, Moses lived by faith. He walked by faith. When we come to the 29th verse here in this chapter, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Do you remember what happened at the Red Sea? What happened before the sea parted? Before the sea parted, God led them to a body of water that they couldn't cross. And Pharaoh decides, I shouldn't have let them go. And he's coming with his armies determined, I'm going to slay them. Pharaoh's determination, as you read that in the Old Testament, was determined to annihilate the Israelites. So here they are at the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh with his armies, and the Israelites are crying out to Moses, why did you bring us out here? Just to die? Why didn't you let us in Egypt? We'd have been better as slaves. Moses says to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, Moses, by faith, there at the Red Sea, the waters hadn't parted. God hadn't told him what he was going to do. But Moses just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses believed that God was going to do what he said, that he was going to lead them into the land of promise. It looked like it was a trap for them to be slain, when in reality, it was a trap for Pharaoh and the Egyptians that they would be slain in the water. Because you remember that Moses, the Lord told Moses, he said, Moses, lift forth your hand. And he lifted forth his hand, and the waters parted. And God brought throughout the night the wind that blew and dried the land where they would walk. And God took the pillar of fire that went before them by day and took it between them and the Egyptians all that night and gave a great darkness to the Egyptians, which was light to the Israelites, where the Egyptians could not come. And then God led them across the Red Sea. And then God said to Moses, lift up your hand. You know, Moses didn't do any great thing. He just did what God told him. He lifted up his hand and the waters came back over. And their enemy was destroyed. You see, that is a walk by faith. Faith is you don't see it. You can't see the end. You can't see the answer. But you trust in the foundation of God's word and what God has said. And you live by faith. That's the way the just are to live, by faith. Moses stretched out his hand, but God acted in power. God didn't ask Moses to do some great task. God just told him to believe him and do what I say. And that's where we see the faith. You know, God has given us promises and prophecies of the future. We too are to walk by faith in these promises. What often looks like the failure of God to fulfill will finally be a perfect fulfillment of His word. We can trust God. We can trust God. You know, Hebrews 11 is that chapter of faith. We've just looked at Moses. We read of a couple other men here at the beginning. But it's filled with those who lived by faith, those who died by faith, who gave their life, who trusted in the Lord. And then chapter 12 and verse 1, look what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We can look at these in the Old Testament. We can look at these of faith. But the lesson to us is, lay aside every weight. We are to put our faith and our trust and run with patience, with faith. You know, a heritage of faith is something to appreciate, as we've seen this morning, but it's not sufficient for you. Your heritage of faith is not sufficient. You need a personal faith. A personal faith that needs to be exercised. Putting your own personal trust and faith in the Lord. Being willing to repent and turn from all those things of the world unto Christ. Recognizing that the treasure in Christ is so much better. The reproach of Christ is better than all of the treasures of the world. A life of faith that will cast the security of the world aside and find its security in Christ. Is your security in Christ today? Or is your security in what you possess? You know, the things we possess could be gone before we even get home today. They could all be gone. Everything we have could be gone. We have no security in this world. We think we do. I think we've got a house. We've got maybe some food that we've canned and stored away. But no, where is your security? Moses left it all to be identified with the people of God in their affliction. A life of faith will cast the world aside and find its security in Christ. Worshiping in faith will celebrate God's love and his care for his own, for past, present, and future. Moses worshiped in faith. He worshiped in faith, looking ahead. He did what he was told to do presently, worshiping God, having a celebration for deliverance when there had been no deliverance. But he believed God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance. His foundation was in what God said. It was the evidence of things not seen. There was no deliverance that he could see, but God, except what God said would be. The just today, we are to live by faith. We're to live trusting in God, not in what we can see. How many times have you heard, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but"? How many times have we thought that way? "I know what the Bible says, but in my case, boy, right now, this, maybe later." No, that's not faith. The just shall live by faith. Walking in faith will be in obedience, focused upon God's word, without fearing what man can do. We're to live by faith. May we see the life of Moses, see the life of these here and throughout the book of Hebrews and their faith. Look at those that have walked by faith around us. We have examples of faith. But then we need to put it to practice. May the Lord help us to be a people that live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to believe him. And then just do what he says. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Believe God, do what he says. Why do we make it so hard? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the life of Moses that you have revealed to us here. Lord, he pleased you because he walked by faith. Lord, help us to be a people that will walk by faith. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit in our lives, teaching us, instructing us. Now help us, Lord, to put it to practice. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymn.